Well, it's a blessing to be here this morning. It's good to see that you've come. I know that the announcements on the radio weren't exactly correct. Brother Cairns has been gone for quite a while, and he'd been announcing that I'd be preaching this morning, and Brother Jeff Bannister would be preaching tonight. And so tonight, we'll see how many folks come to hear Brother Bannister, but we're glad you're here today. And I trust that the Lord will bless us as we meet around His Word. I'm having sort of a problem with my throat. I was having that problem Wednesday night, and I was hoping that somehow my throat would be better by today. I think maybe just a little bit, but when you get started doing the type of preaching that I'm used to doing in Alabama, the ranting and raving style, it works havoc with the throat very quickly, but we trust that the Lord will bless us today, and we can look forward to hearing our Brother Bannister next week, the Lord willing. I was hoping to get Brother Bannister to preach Wednesday night, and then he called and said he wanted to stay a little longer with his folks up north and seek to witness to them. And then I thought, well, maybe our brother Al Shearer hasn't gone yet, and he was to preach today in Florida, but he got away sort of early in the week too. But I'd like to thank those of you that have been praying for my throat, and I'd also like to give appreciation to those who've prayed for us while we've been going through the theological hall. Now, we haven't made it quite yet. We had our first series of exams in the month of November with Mr. Douglas, and we won't know what we made. I guess maybe some of the brothers may know what they made, the ones who are in Northern Ireland, but the rest of us won't know until they get back whether we passed or failed. So we trust that you'll continue to pray for us there. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll begin reading with the 10th verse. It's really unusual to not have a clock up here. Usually coming to this pulpit, Brother Cairns is sitting out there with a paper and a pen ready to write down everything that we do wrong. I don't know how many of you plan to do that today. But we usually have our little clock up here, and one of the greatest difficulties that preachers have is not only watching the clock, but to remember to start the clock at the beginning of a sermon. And Brother Cairns is making various threats to some of us who can't remember to turn it on, so we won't have to worry about the time today since there's no clock up here. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. We'll end our reading with the verse 20 and trust the Lord to bless His word to our hearts today. Now let's bow our heads and our hearts before the Lord and seek Him in prayer and ask the blessing on the word. Our Father, we come to Thee in Jesus' name. We thank Thee that on this Lord's Day we are found in Thy presence. We thank Thee for the precious blood that gives us a hearing before the throne of grace. And Lord, we ask Thee today to bless us for Jesus' sake. We pray that Thou wilt take these words that we've read from Thy book and write them upon our hearts. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt give us the Holy Ghost today. Without Thee, we cannot profit from this word. We confess with Thy truth that the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Therefore, we cry unto Thee, Lord, to give us the Holy Ghost in power. We pray that Thou wilt speak to Thine own dear people. We pray that Thou wilt help us, as we were singing, to fight the good fight. We pray that Thou wilt give us grace in this new year to stand for Thee, and having done all, to stand. Lord, we ask Thee that even in this week, that Thou wilt begin a work of reviving. Bless our brethren as they meet before Thee in prayer during the days of this week. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt bless us here. We pray for those who may yet be strangers to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today Thou wilt reveal to them their heart's need. And Lord, bless our souls. We pray that Thou wilt make us good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We pray that even this time now spent in Thy holy word would be used to that end. And we pray that above all else, that Thy name would be glorified. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're reading for our text just the verse 13 of this chapter 6 of Ephesians. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. As many times as our pastor has preached from this book of Ephesians, I come to it with fear and trembling, preaching from this pulpit. And yet I believe there are things here that we can learn today from this verse, and even from this epistle. The epistle to the church at Ephesus is an epistle that lays out much before us concerning the heavenly life, life in the heavenlies. We read many references to the heavenlies and heavenly places in this book. Beginning in chapter 1 and verse 3, we see that believers are blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Notice also in chapter 1 and verse 20 that Christ has been set in the place of prominence and power at God's right hand. We read that the Lord set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. And then we in Him as regenerated souls, those of us who have been born again, we can rejoice in chapter 2 and verse 6. For here we find that He has raised us up. Not only raised Christ up, but raised us up and made us to sit together with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then in the third chapter of Ephesians, in verse 10, we read here of the good angels in heavenly places, that they come to know more of God's wisdom by looking at the church. Now that's an interesting thing. I can remember having, as a child, wished that I had lived in the days when Jesus walked upon the earth. I wish that I could have heard the apostles. And at times, I have wished that I could see things as an angel sees them. How much of divine things we could take in if we had been living during the time of Christ's earthly ministry, or to have heard his apostles, or to view things from the viewpoint of an angel. But yet, the scripture tells us here in Ephesians 3:10 that the principalities and powers in heavenly places, these are the unfallen angels spoken of here, might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. The angels desire to look into what we have in our salvation. The desire of the angels is to peer into that and learn from us. Now, isn't that interesting? That these heavenly creatures would desire to learn more even through the feeble children of God. This is amazing. But there's one other reference in this book to the heavenly places, and that is in chapter 6 and verse 12, right before our text. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This word for high places is the same word for heavenlies. And in the heavenlies, in these high places, we see that there's also spiritual wickedness taking place. Now, this is interesting. As the children of the King, we are brought into this sphere of the heavenlies. We have the privileges of God's children, of being in the sphere of the heavenlies, being seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And yet, it is in this very sphere, it is into this very realm into which we are brought by salvation in Christ that we meet with the greatest conflict of all the ages. The conflict is taking place in the heavenlies. It is a spiritual conflict. There's a terrible battle raging. We read here that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, it's obvious that at times we do wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against those on earth who are striving against God. But there's something more. There are those powers behind the flesh and blood that are the most devious, that are the most dangerous, those that are the most potent that we fight against. Now, there's a war raging. As we were singing in the psalm and the hymn this morning about the fight of the Christian, let us be aware that there is a battle. There is a war going on. There's spiritual warfare raging. And to be ignorant of that is to be in danger of destruction. You can be destroyed if you do not realize that there's an actual war going on in spiritual places. Now, the apostle warns us here in our text in verse 13. He warns us of this battle to take unto us the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. There's a warning here and there's also an encouragement. I want us to notice from this text that we are taught by the Holy Ghost that Christians can only win in this spiritual warfare by using the weapons that God Himself has given. Let's notice, first of all, that the Christian is fighting a very real war. The Christian is fighting a very real war. In our text, we see the whole armor of God spoken of. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. This is the language of conflict. This is the language of a raging battle. We learn here of our enemies, and we learn here of battles. Who are our enemies? The scripture says, wherefore, and this word in verse 13, the very first word of our text, takes us back to what precedes. Wherefore, or on account of this, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why should we be concerned about putting on our spiritual armor. Because the Lord says there are spiritual enemies right before this. Notice who these enemies are. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. These principalities and powers are the evil fallen angels. These are those who followed the devil, Lucifer, in his rebellion against God. These are the ones that we fight against. Now notice also here in verse 12, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, the world rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. Now the devil has a very real power in the world today. He is exercising his power as the prince of the power of the air. You know, sometimes I'm amazed by the terminology that the scripture uses there. He's called the prince of the power of the air. And we think about how much wickedness is going through the air around us. Think of all the filth and corruption and wickedness that is being poured forth to the delight of the devil through the airwaves round about. Isn't that something that the prince of the power of the air is delighted and rejoicing in? We are fighting against this awful devil, the one who exercises power against us. Now, how does he have power against man? The only reason the devil has power against man is because man is a fallen creature. We fail in our first parents in the Garden of Eden. And because of that, the devil is out to destroy. He has power to destroy. And remember that if you're lost today, if you're here in this meeting today without Jesus Christ, then the devil is going to destroy you. Your soul is going to be destroyed, and you'll be lost forever without Jesus Christ. But for the believer, he also exercises power against the believer for the very fact that we are believers. Those who are believers are no longer in his army, no longer bowing to his scepter, but instead are enlisted in the army of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, you're called to be a soldier of Christ, and therefore you have an enemy who wants to destroy your testimony, who wants to defeat your life, who wants to bring your effectiveness for God to naught. The devil has many weapons that he can use. He has an arsenal full. All around the world, he is using his great forces, his great powers, his great weapons. He uses cults. He uses heresies. He uses temptations, discouragements, worry, anxiety. He has plenty of devices. He has plenty of wiles with which to draw from. He uses the old nature, even in the believer's life. And this is one thing that strikes a sad note in the heart of every blood-bought child of God. That within us, there is yet remaining an old nature. And that old nature so often is used by the devil as a Trojan horse within us to bring us into sin, to bring us into falls, to bring us into the place that we're not enjoying fellowship with God in the light of His countenance. The devil can use the old nature. But let us remember what the Word of God says in Micah 7 and verse 8. This is the testimony of the child of God. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. We can rejoice in that. That the Lord will not let us stay down in defeat. He'll lift us up. He'll strengthen us to go on. Even though the devil has an awful arsenal of weapons to use against us, the Lord will strengthen us for the battle. You know, the devil fights against us as believers in much the same way as he fought against Jesus Christ. Have you ever carefully meditated on those words that the devil brought to the Lord Jesus Christ in the temptation. He tempted the Lord Jesus Christ three times. And two out of three times he said, "If thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God." And is that not one of his greatest weapons that he uses against us? The devil has the power of suggestion. And he will suggest to us evil things. He will suggest evil thoughts. And then he'll come to us and he'll say, "Look how terrible you are. Why, a person that would think such things could not be a Christian." Isn't that what he sometimes does? And then he pulls the very same kind of trick on us, which he failed to pull, even though he tried it on Jesus Christ. And he suggests to us, "If thou be a child of God, you would not have done this." Isn't that wicked? The devil knows that if he can but defeat our assurance of faith in Christ, if he can but lock us up in Doubting Castle, then we will not be effective for the Lord. He will win the day. He will take the field. He'll have it all. If he can but get us to doubting, if he can but rob us of our assurance and get us moping and thinking that we're not saved. That's one of the tools that he loves to use. And don't fall for it. Because when we are in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. And let us not listen to the devil. For the devil himself cannot even bring condemnation against God's elect. For it is God that justifies. Don't fall for the devil's lie. The devil has his weapons. What awful principalities and powers these are that we face. But let us take courage, brethren. Let us take courage, sisters, because we have a great captain, Joshua. The Lord Jesus Christ, the greater than Joshua. And all of our spiritual enemies, the devil, all of his hosts, the wickedness of this world, and even this old carnal nature that yet resides within our souls. These are but bread for our Joshua. For he has defeated them, and he will yet subdue all our iniquities in us. He will yet subdue all his enemies in the world. Let us rejoice. Now we have enemies, but the verse also suggests the idea of battles. We're in a warfare. And in a war, there are various skirmishes, encounters, battles. Let's notice some of these battles. The Bible says here in verse 13 of Ephesians 6, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." A particular time is spoken of here. In the evil day. Now, none of our spiritual skirmishes or pushovers. We don't win spiritual battles through the energy of the flesh. We cannot defeat our enemies easily. It's only done by the power of God. It requires His power for us to win any battle. But let us notice what the Scripture says here. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. There are special times that the devil comes against us. There are special occasions that can be rightly called evil days. There are times, the Scripture says, when kings go forth to battle. In ancient times, there were seasons of the year when the kings would especially choose to fight. Times when kings go forth to battle. There are some very exhausting seasons of conflict that we as Christians face. Now, can you look in your experience and recall, sometimes it seems that as you're seeking to live for the Lord, just one thing right after another hits you. It seems like one attack is launched right after another. It's as though the devil and all of his hordes were charging against us. And when they stormed the stronghold of our soul and then backed off for a minute, immediately they came back with another charge again and again and again. Certainly, it's an evil day when the devil mounts up his forces against us, tries to discourage us, tries to turn us back from our seeking to be faithful for the Lord. That can rightly be called an evil day. But you know, there's an equally and maybe even more so dangerous time when the devil will draw back and leave us for a little season. The scripture says that the devil left Christ for a season. And what happens when it seems that we're making good progress in our Christian life and it seems that the devil's leaving us alone for a little while? Then we begin to get self-confident. Then we begin to feel, well, you know, I'm doing pretty well now. I really like this. And the only reason the devil draws back from us for a little time is to muster his forces together, to regroup, and to get ready to make a terrible assault. Down in Alabama, during the time of the Indian Wars in the 1800s, many of the settlers gathered together and built little forts out of wooden poles. And the families would stay inside these forts during the time when the Indians were on the warpath. And there was one fort down in South Alabama called Fort Mims. And the people in the area around about Fort Mims had built this fort, and they would go in there and stay during times of danger. They had quite a lot of terrible things that had happened as Indians burned villages nearby. And the people knew that if they were going to be safe, they'd have to stay inside the fort. And so they stayed. And after a while, the Indians weren't attacking. So they began to leave the gates open in the daytime. And they would set a watch up on the wall to see if the Indians were coming. And they'd leave the gates open and close them at night, let the people go in and out, and do their farming, do their trading, whatever they had to do. And as time went on, the Indians seemed like they were ready to stay at peace with the white man. So they began to leave the gates open at night and just leave a watchman going around the walls to make sure there were no attackers coming up. This went on for weeks and then for months. And all during this time when the gates were left open, as the rains fell, sand was washing up against the gates. It was building up. As the weeks and months went by, the sand got higher. And the people, in their self-confidence, did not realize the danger that they were in. Until one day, suddenly, there was a war cry, and the Indians sped toward the fort. And the men quickly rushed to the gates and tried to close them, but they were unable. And every person in Fort Mims was massacred, except for one who was so well hidden, who was able to tell about what had happened. And you know, even though at times we become frustrated when the devil comes at us time after time again, yet let us be aware that when he draws back, there is that danger of self-confidence. That we begin to think, well, I'm okay. I don't have to be on guard so much. When we get into that place, we are an open prey for the devil. The scripture speaks of the evil day. An evil day being one charge after another of Satan and his forces. Or an evil day could also be a day of peace. The scripture tells us that we are going to face battles. The battles will be sore for us until at last we reach the other shore. Let's notice in the second place, thank God, even though there is a battle, yet the Lord has provided weapons for us. He has provided us an effective arsenal of weaponry and armor. There's a war, but there's also weapons. We see here in our text, verse 13 of Ephesians 6, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Take unto you. Isn't that interesting? Take up once and for all this armor, he says. This strikes a note of sadness as Christians think about the very wording of this. To take it up. This signifies in a sense that it's been laid down by many. There are many who are not concerned to take up the armor of God. And can we not even testify in our own hearts that there are times when we get up and we go out and face the daily battles in this world that we take no care to put on our Christian armor before we go out. But the Lord says, take it up. Don't leave the armor lying in your room each morning. Don't leave your Bible covered with dust. Don't leave the pages unturned. Don't leave the prayer closet neglected. But take up the whole armor of God. Now the Scripture gives us our weapons and our armament in the following verses. Notice in verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, the truth of the gospel, having on the breastplate of righteousness. This is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What does the breastplate protect? It protects the heart. It protects the vitals of the inner man. And so when we are shielded, when we are covered beneath the breastplate of imputed righteousness, when we are shielded beneath that, then we know that we can go out and face a wicked world of enemies. The Scripture says in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The feet. The only way that we are prepared to walk in this world is by a knowledge of the gospel of peace. We live in a warfare. We live in a troubled world. And yet, God's people can have peace in the midst of that. We have the gospel of peace. And the only way we can walk is by having this gospel of peace on our heart each day, rejoicing in it. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith, this is the victory which overcometh the world, even our faith, our trust, our relying on the Lord. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Have our mind filled with the glory of salvation. Have our thoughts set on our salvation, on the God of our salvation, on the work of salvation for us. We're to have our mind shielded by this, by the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is what Christ used. Christ, in His fight with the devil, constantly took the Word of God to Him. And we have this as not only a defensive weapon, but an offensive weapon we're to use. You know, there's one part of the Christian armament that's sadly neglected, and very often not even mentioned, and that is in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. This is another defensive weapon as well as an offensive weapon. All prayer. What does he mean? All kinds of prayer. Public prayer. Private prayer. Family prayer. Sudden prayer. When you meet with trouble, suddenly send a prayer up like a dart to heaven. All prayer. All parts of prayer. To praise the Lord. To confess to the Lord. To supplicate. To petition. To intercede. All prayer. This should mark our lives. Our lives will be filled with victory as we are filled with all of this armament and all prayer. Let us not be slothful with this Christian armament as the foolish virgins were. It was not until the hour was too late that they began to prepare. And as we face this new year, let us daily be prepared by putting on the Christian armor. Let's notice in the last place that there's not only a war, there's not only weapons that God has provided for us, but there's also an assurance that we are going to win. Those who are on the Lord's side are on the winning side. Let us cheer up. Let us be glad today, because if you're in Christ, you are going to win forever. Now notice what he says in verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to be beaten? Not at all. He says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. What's the Lord talking about? There's power in these weapons that He's given. There's power, especially in the one who has given it. The whole armor of God. The armament comes from God. He has the power to give us the victory. There's power to stand. Power to withstand in the evil day. He's given us power to oppose. And as we mentioned before, there's not just weapons here to protect ourselves with. But it's time, like Jonathan and his armor bearer of old, for believers, fundamental Christian believers, to come up out of the pits, come up out of the caves and the dens of the earth, and stand up against the Philistines with the whole armor of God, and fight and take the battle to the enemy. It's time that believers were storming the very gates of hell, because it's the gates of hell that will not prevail against the church. It's not the gates of the church that will prevail against hell. Christian believers, we are called to take the battle to the enemy. We are called not to just sit back and hope that somehow things are going to turn out all right. But we are called to stand in the evil day. Having done all, to stand. Take the sword of the Spirit and do battle for the Lord with it. Why should we do this? Souls are at stake. Souls are in danger. Let us, as believers in Christ, have compassion, plucking the brands out of the fire, even as they're going to the very gates of hell. But there's something far more important that we should be concerned with, and that is the glory of our great captain. His name is being trodden underfoot. Let us take up the whole armor of God and take the battle to the enemy. And having done all, the Scripture says, to stand. Having put down all the opposition, having soundly defeated all the enemies, the last enemy that we must face is death. But with this Christian armor, there's no fear in death for the believer. As our mind is filled with Christ and what He has done for us, then we have no fear of death. The last enemy to be put down is death. The Scripture says, and having done all, to stand. When the smoke on the battlefield clears, the Lord says, be left standing there. This is what the Scripture means when it speaks of being more than conquerors. Let us get into the habit of standing, because we have a standing in heaven. Those of us who are saved, it is of God for us to stand. For we shall stand in the congregation of the righteous. The ungodly will be swept away in the day of judgment. They'll be blown away as the chaff. But the people of God, the righteous, those who have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, those who are washed in the blood, will stand. The Lord says, having done all, to stand. We should stand in to what is ours as believers. We have a standing. Therefore, let us stand. It's not the one who starts off as a Christian soldier. It's not the one who begins the race, but it's the one who finishes the race. It's the one who, like the Apostle Paul, can say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. May the Lord grant to each one of us that testimony that we have fought nobly, that we have fought bravely for the honor and glory of our great captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the privilege to be in the battle. We thank Thee that even as we have heard before, it's better to be a part of God's war than the devil's peace. Father, we pray for anyone here who may be at peace with the devil. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt speak to them today by Thy mighty power. Call them forth from the hosts of darkness into the army of light. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt stir up Thy people. Oh God, we pray that Thou wilt help us in this year not to sit back and let the world go by. But Lord, we pray that Thou wilt give us grace to take up the whole armor of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.